Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yannis, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. God bless you. Thank you for taking the time to be with us today. We have a great show for you. We have Mr. Bradley Dean on the second segment of the show, so I'm pretty sure you're going to be able to get something really good out of that. Bradley Dean is a rocker at heart and does a lot of different ministries. Certainly a character that you're just going to enjoy, and he believes it's time to get radical with the radicals. So we'll see how that goes, and I'm sure it's going to be blessed as well. And I pray that everything's getting ready for you and your faith walk with God and whatever God has called you to do. I just praise the Lord that he's doing amazing, amazing things. This past week has been a busy week for me. We've been really busy at Rev Media Publishing, and my goodness, I think we're going to set a record this month on books that we're going to be getting out. We've been waiting for a deal to finish up with a ministry that we, or a business that is one of the largest Christian publishers, and I hadn't announced the name of them yet. And sometimes you work corporate, it takes a while to get these things done, and this is one of those things that is taking a while. So we decided to just move forward with our books, we get them into the process, and get them to where the people are listening, are actually able to read them and get them in their hands, and then we'll move everything at one time to the main place that we're supposed to be at. So it's been busy because I kind of did an all call to all the authors out there that have been waiting, and I was surprised to the response, because a lot of them wanted to go to the other route that we're going to be going, but they're like, hey, David, we're with you, so whatever you want to do, we're going to do. And they start sending in their final drafts, and they say, let's go. They start sending in the funds to get these things done, and it's been busy. I have been completely busy with it, and it's been consuming, and at the same time trying to learn a new system for a church. I'm going to be doing the install. No, I hadn't done it yet. I got to text the pastor and let him know that we're still getting it all together. I think I have the final sound piece that we need for a system, and we just have to do a few more things. Just a good day with this stuff, and I think I will be fine. So this week, I will knock it out and get it installed after Memorial Day at his church. And we're going to be excited about that. And they have to have internet anyway for us to do this and to get it running. So there's a few things I got to work on that. So it's been pretty busy. But I remember a time in my life that I wasn't busy at all. In fact, there's phases that you go through. And for me, sometimes I get a lot of slow time because everything in publishing has been done. Everything in broadcasting, besides my radio show and TV show, there's not much stuff to do when I'm at the office or at home either. And I tell you, those days are good because when I get busy, I get busy. I've been working every night to almost 12, 1 o'clock. Getting up 6 o'clock and getting my kids to school, because I enjoy doing that when I'm here. And oddly enough, I haven't been traveling much. I haven't been traveling much this last year. And I just got golden medallion status, and I haven't traveled anywhere. So I need to probably need to go ahead and try and get a trip done, something so I can use my status and get some more mileage. But I don't worry about that. I do 2 trips of missions a year, so it doesn't affect me. I will get the time that I need to get on. I'll get that. I'm not worried about it at all. But even with that, I mean, we're been busy on the broadcasting station as well. Today I'm gonna try and train a couple of new people to try and get this thing done. My sons, because the guy that we've been holding working with, he's not readily available. Probably one of the best ministry broadcasters as far as learning how to do this stuff off the fly and just going with it and trying. You know, I mentioned him before about breaking down the fears of editing to where he can be in a control room, and he's not readily available. His other job keeps him pretty busy, so Maybe one of these days I'll be able to hire him, and we'll be able to keep him there full time, just making videos. That's all he does. He can't even leave that room till he finishes the videos. And that's my goal. That's my goal. I'll bring him food, whatever. He needs to get the videos done. But it takes a lot of work. I mean, I have been looking at different things in my heart. My heart is really, and really to, and I have a reason I'm telling you all this stuff. So just listen. My heart's to make some movies and skits, and really movies and 1 hour shows, TV shows, 30 minute shows, but really 1 hour shows, real good drama shows and good stories, and basically a sitcoms or television series basically. And then also I want to be able to make movies. So I've been looking at a lot of the ways how things are done, and it takes a lot of work just to put my 30 minute show together. I mean, it takes a lot of work. I'm just not the talent, but I'm also the producer, and sometimes I'm the cameraman, and I'm working the control room on one thing, just trying to test it out. So it takes a lot of work. I mean, there's no doubt that it takes a lot of work to get this done. But I do know this, my friends, it's worth it. And you believe, but there was a time in my life that all I could do was believe. And I'm gonna sound like Pastor George Vargas again. Believe. Believe. And that's all I could do was believe. There was nothing tangible. There was nothing that was available for me to do. There was nothing that I was doing when I first came out of the Navy, 1993. I mean, you talk about spending 2.5-3 years on a ship and just trusting God. And just trusting that God has something for me, that all I could do was dream and believe. Imagine someone that was in a cage or in a prison or in a place where you couldn't do anything until you were released. And that's how the military was. In fact, I think I broke out a couple of times and got in trouble and got captain's bass 30 days, 60 days, where, you know, just put on the ship. I forget what that's called. Restricted duty. Restriction, where they keep you on the ship and you can't leave the ship. Like I had like 30 or 60 days. It's because inside me, all I wanted to do was do what God wanted me to do. There was nothing that could hold me back at times. And when I had those little emotional breakdowns, praise God, we'll call it that. And you just ran off the ship and start praying for people in different countries and cities and around the world. And I wouldn't come back. It was so good. Oh, it felt so good to reach out and touch someone like AT&T's old model used to be. Don't even hear that anymore. But you just reach out there and be a blessing, and it's just good. There's a satisfaction that you get. When you preach the gospel and you're reaching people, I used to call it a high. I used to call it a spiritual high, but that don't sound right. It isn't good to say it like that, I don't think. And the proper probably way would be a satisfaction. My good friend Gerald Davis, who I had lunch with yesterday, and he had given me a good quote, and I'm gonna, not really a quote, just a good talking about not worrying about failure. We're gonna talk about that in just a minute as well. But it's a satisfaction that you get. Your spirit gets satisfied. Do you ever feel that your spirit just keeps wanting to grab and go forward and do something, and it's restless? But when you minister the gospel, when you preach the word and the word connects with someone, you just feel satisfied. You feel like God just blessed you and you were a blessing and you're just satisfied. That's the best way to put it. And you do all these things and you trust God. You trust God because he does have many things that is operating in your life. Now sometimes you just don't have it, and it's not time. And then there's time when it's the minister and your blessing, but believing, daring to believe, is a tough thing. It's a tough thing because you're in the situation where you're at. You're in a place where it's not great right now. You're in a place where it's horrible. You're in a place where you're just completely. Not lost, but completely under the control of wherever you're at. Well, at least it looks like that, but you're always in God's control. Remember that. And I remember coming out of the military in 93. That's coming out of the military. That's not coming out of anything else. Don't you get me wrong here, brother. But coming out of the military, I remember being discharged honorably. Let's use that word. Discharged honorably from the military. I finished my tour, finished my time, and didn't know what to do next. Didn't know where to go, what to do, what to say, who to meet. I had all these dreams. Everything that I wrote down, everything I put down, I had journals and journals written. And I just put them all together, and I said, okay, God, where do I start? How do I get this going? You see, because when I was in the Navy, I believed I was going to have a television network. I believed I was going to be broadcasting radio somehow. I believed I would be doing healing service across the United States and around the world. I believed I'd be doing missions. I dared to believe that God had something great for me. I dared to believe that He had something for me that even though I wasn't satisfied where I was, that He would move me to the direction that I will become satisfied. You see, a lot of times, my friends, we take ourselves out of the game. And I call the game, the ministry. We take ourselves out of that by just becoming down, becoming depressed, becoming sad. And there's nothing wrong with those three things. But don't stay in those things. Praise God. There's days I get a little depressed. I do. There's things I get a little sad when things aren't working out. And you're just kind of like, man, why is it not working? But the Bible said that King David encouraged himself in the Word. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Excuse me. He encouraged himself in the Lord. I believe that was in 2 Samuel. And when he encouraged himself in the Lord, now everybody wanted to kill him because they just lost everything. They lost everything. And they trusted him. They followed this guy. And then when they went and followed him, they were robbed. They were robbed. Their homes were plundered. Their families were taken. Even David's family was taken. And he's having to deal with his own emotions, but have to deal with the emotions of everybody else. That let's kill him. Let's get him and kill him. The promised man of God. Just because you had a bad day, you're going to go and chop the man up. And in those days, they could. They would. I don't know if they could, but they would. And I know they did. So. But the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. There's so many times when you believe that you have a promise from God that you have to encourage yourself in the Lord. There's no other way. Possibilities or anyone else that's going to encourage you. You can go to your best friend. You can go to your uncle. You can go to your friends. And you can try and encourage yourself by watching television or a motivational speaker or turning on the TV and hearing someone speak to you. But a lot of times, my friend, it's going to come down to you. Down to you encouraging yourself in the Lord. It's to come to you saying, I believe what you promised me. I dare to believe what you've done for me. I dare to believe that there's great things for me. I dare to believe that you have something more. We all want something more. We're all praying for something more. We're all asking God to do something. But then again, like when I came out, when I was honorably discharged from the Navy, and I was out here doing the work of God, I didn't know where to go. I prayed and prayed and prayed that God would open doors. I prayed and prayed that God would let me just plug in somewhere where they've seen my gifts and talent and the gates will be open. I prayed and prayed, but I didn't get anything. I didn't get anything. I'm like, Lord, I've just been dying for 2 years. Well, automatically when I got out of the military, there's something that hit me and it was reality. That means I have to work to take care of myself. No matter how much I want to preach and how much I want to travel and minister the gospel, if a man don't work, he don't eat. And if you don't believe that, try it. Try not working, and you're not going to be eating. And I was trying to get my life going. And I'm like, Lord, where do I go? Where do I go? What do I do? What do I do? But do you know how many times I joined a church and I was really stable in there, just working with them as much as I can go? People are going to be afraid or are going to see you as a young fire of God, and they're not going to understand. They're not going to understand your giftings. But then again, my friends, you can't overrun the course that God has set for you. You can't try and be the main guy when you're still learning to be the guy or the gal, however it goes for you. I hope there's no guy gals. But anyway, it doesn't matter if you focus on God and you stay humble and you become a servant, those are the things that God is looking for. Those are the things that God is looking for in an individual. There's no other place. There's no other avenue. The other day I told you there's no app, no GPS that's going to get you to God's plans. Only God is that GPS, and only God is that app that can do it. He is the only one that can move you to where you need to be. You see, there's different times for different people and different seasons. I've seen some young men come up really strong in faith, and they were mature, and God used them. I've seen some people that weren't mature that they just brought up, and man brought them up. And they still were used by God in some ways. And so I've seen them both ways. I've seen it different ways, I guess, different ways. But I tell you, my faith says, do I say that right? Or my wife says I don't say it right. It says that God is awesome. He is awesome. And that he is able to lift you up. He is able to lift you up. Have you ever felt bad about what you've done in faith as far as discouragement and that it did not operate or come out the way you wanted to come out? I've told you many times about my New York trip. And that's all it was a New York trip. It was not even a great ministry event for me. No, it wasn't. And I tell you that I was excited about different things that God had for me and different things that God was going to be doing. And it didn't work out there. I was discouraged. Now, that's not my only disappointment. I can tell you many disappointments. Of the radio being so expensive that I couldn't stay on. I can tell you many times that I tried to create the television studio and all it became was a big blue room. And I tell you, when I was starting to do the television station here, at the studio that we're at right now, when I started to paint those walls, I was like, blue, no. Not blue again. Oh, Lord, not blue. Blue walls have disappointed me, Jesus. They've disappointed me. And that's how it would get. I was like, oh. Every color we put on that wall, it was a different color originally, the studio. And I just went back to the blue. And I said, I believe, Lord, I rebuke the blue, but I believe that this is the best color for this studio. And I'm going to keep going with it. I tried it, and I have a picture of it in 1999, in 2001, and it still didn't come to fruition. But I took all the courses I needed to take to learn just some basic video stuff, even though I already knew video. I just took these courses so I can get access to their cameras, to be honest. If you go and take the courses at the Access Channel, you can use their cameras, and you can schedule time to use their editing system. I didn't have cameras or editing system, so I went and took courses that I already knew how to do. Anyway, you just go ahead and you just believe God and you just trust God and it happens. It happens. It will happen. It will happen. I'm telling you, 1993. Then you go to 2003. I had a church all the way up to 2003, from 1999 to 2003, and didn't travel, didn't preach anywhere really much at all. But God gave me experience in preaching and everything else by pastoring that church. And then I preached so much around the world before then. And the worldwide ministry, travel with them, ministering everywhere. And in 95, 98, then 2000, then 99 to 2003. And then from 2003 to 2007, 2008, not much, just doing radio here and there. In 2005, started the publishing. 2009, we started the broadcasting. And then all of a sudden, 2010, 2011, 2012, those years just start coming and going and coming and going. And I dared to believe because God is awesome. I dared to believe because he is who he said he is. He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. Praise God. He is able to start it and to stop it, able to turn on 1 second and turn the heat on to get the things cooking in your life. He's able to. Let me read you Psalms 18:30. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is faithful and true. He is a buckler to all those that trust him. Oh, amen and amen. He is faithful and true. Praise God. Let me tell you this in Job 2, 27. In the very end of that scripture, it says, "And my people shall never be ashamed." Never be ashamed about things that did not work out. Let me tell you this. This is the quote I told you my friend gave me. Kind of a quote. Here it goes. Kind of paraphrased. Nothing is a failure as you grow in life. Just a pivotal turn in the direction of God's plan. Ooh, I got to do it in Gerald's voice. Hold on. Nothing is a failure as you grow in life. Just a pivotal turn in the direction of God's plan. I want you to write that down. I want you to get that in your heart. It is God that's going to change things. Nothing else. I don't care how much you Facebook, how much you Twitter. God's going to move your ministry beyond what those things can do. Don't you think so? I dare to believe. Praise God. We'll be right back with our guest, Mr. Bradley Dean, in just a few minutes. We'll be right back. God bless you. Thank you for listening.
One Impact Live. There is one God. You are one person. You have one impact. Join us today to change the world. This is your life. What are you going to do with it?
Have you ever felt that you were stupid, or that you were never going to amount to anything, or that nobody wanted you? Has anyone ever spoken those words to you? Welcome to One Impact Live. I'm Terry Squires, and you've just tuned in to the 5-minute radio show that will change your life and the lives around you. When I was a little girl, I grew up with two boys. I was a triplet. I was one of three. Now, my brothers, they were into the boy stuff. They always had to be the hero. They always had to win. And I, on the other hand, was into the girl stuff. I was always the princess, and I loved the fairy tales. I especially loved the story of Cinderella because I loved the ending. The girl got her prince, and they lived happily ever after. And as a little girl, and even a big girl, we all want that. We want our prince, and we want to live happily ever after. Now, we all know the story of Cinderella. It's been told many times, different versions. Cinderella was the beautiful stepdaughter of a wicked stepmom who had two daughters with really mean, ugly attitudes. And no matter what Cinderella did, no matter how hard she tried, she could never please her stepmom. All she ever heard was, "Cinderella, you are so stupid. Cinderella, you are never going to amount to anything. Nobody wants you." Now, what's interesting about this story, when I was a teenager, I could have written it. I thought I had it all. I had the big house, the chores that never got done. I had the stepmom and the two stepsisters. Now, I'm not saying that my stepsisters had the bad, ugly attitudes. They didn't. And I'm not saying that I was the girl that every guy wanted to date. I wasn't. I was a little shy, a little skinny. But I knew I had something that was special, and that was compassion. I had a heart for others. I would have done anything for anybody. But no matter how hard I tried, no matter what I did, I could never please my stepmom. All I ever heard was, "Terry, you are so stupid. Terry, you are never going to amount to anything. Nobody wants you." And you know, those words, they brought me down and they kept me down. And I actually started to believe them until one day I had enough. Something had to change. Something had to give. Now, I loved to hike up this hill that was on our property. And when I reached the top, I stood at a small cliff that overlooked our large pond. I stood there for a moment, and those words kept ringing in my ears. "You are so stupid. You are never going to amount to anything. Nobody wants you." I stood there for a moment, and then I took two steps back. I stretched out my arms, I closed my eyes, and I cried out to Jesus, "Jesus, I don't know you very well. I don't even know if you're real. but someone told me you loved me and you wanted my life. I don't know why. I'm never going to amount to anything, but if it's true, I am going to give you my life today. It is yours. And at that moment, I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit wrap his sweet arms around me, and his glass slipper was a perfect fit. And instead of hearing those words, "Terry, you are stupid," my heart heard, "I think you're brilliant." Instead of hearing, "You're never going to amount to anything," my heart heard, "You will do great things through me." And instead of hearing, "Nobody wants you," my heart heard, "I want you." My life illustrates the power of one. My life was changed by Jesus when he chose one man, one woman, one family that changed the direction of my life. And because of them, I, the one girl who was never going to amount to anything, now has a ministry that has reached millions worldwide. Oh, my friend, don't believe the lies that are thrown at you. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And today he chooses you to impact the lives around you. Please join me at www.oneimpactbible.com to reach others with his message. And until next time, be the one.
Amen. And we are back on the air with our second segment. My guest, Mr. Bradley Dean. How you doing, Bradley?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, my friend.
Hey, not a problem. I asked him because he was listening to the show before. I said, "Did I embarrass myself too much?"
You're doing fine, David.
I'm a character, and I'm from what I understand, you're a character as well. So
I guess in the particulars, I am.
Amen, Bradley. For those that know who you are, and those that do, just let us know who's Bradley Dean.
Well, I do high school assemblies across the country. I've done 342 of them. High schools, colleges, tea parties, and the such, all across the country, over in 22 states, and I've been doing that for the last 12 years. I'm also a radio show host for a show called Sons of Liberty, which airs in 53 countries 6 days a week. I'm a husband to one, a daddy to five. I run a ministry in the state of Minnesota here. I'm also the drummer for an international band called JunkyardProfit.com. And I do a little of everything because I want to be spent for my Father, which is in heaven, because I seek for him to be glorified and honored, not through inaction, but through my action. So I hope I'm doing a good enough job to please him.
Amen.
So that's a little as to who I am.
Amen. Amen. And how long have you been serving the Lord, my brother?
17 years.
Amen. Tell us how you came to the Lord.
Oh, that's a long one. I was in a band touring throughout the Midwest and down south over to Louisiana, and I started calling out upon the name of the Lord. And I just said, "Lord, I want to know who you are. I want to know if this is you in this Bible that I'm reading, because if this is who you are, then I want to know who you are." And he began to break me little by little to show me who I wasn't, to show me who he was. And a man by the name of Leonard Ravenhill rightly said, the greatest miracle that God can perform is take an unholy man out of an unholy situation, clean him up, make him holy, and put him back into that unholy situation, and seek and save that which is lost. And that's exactly what I've been doing for the last 17 years. But it's not without trials, tribulations, and persecutions.
Amen. Amen. So tell us with the assemblies that you do. So that's pretty interesting. So did you automatically get a heart for the youth and a heart for the next generation?
Well, no, what happened, David, is I was actually raised up. I moved 37 times until I built my first house in the state of Minnesota here. And I grew up without a dad. My dad was in jail for crimes I don't know what he committed. And my mom was always with her boyfriends, and she was a workaholic. So I was pretty much a part of this fatherless generation as to who I'm dealing with today. And so it's not hard to go to those that understand who I am, and more so me going to them because I understand who they are. And we're just basically going to a generation that's subjected to everything and protected from nothing, and I totally understand that heart. And God sent me about the work of his hands and said, "You know what, let's go this direction." And I seen a whole lot of talk going on, but I seen very little action. So I wanted to recite with my deeds, 1 John 3:18, which is not in word, neither in tongue, but by deeds and by truth. By this our hearts are assured before him. So I wanted to show this generation how much I love them by what I am doing for them, and that's fighting for them.
Amen. Now, is it difficult to get into some of these schools?
It's not, because I'm teaching a constitutional foundational message. I'm basically taking them back to 1962. I'm showing them the price of their freedoms. And I talk about a plethora of issues, about 25 different topics. And no, so I'm not, America's never lost the right, and the only thing I'm doing is ensuring the rights of the next generation by showing them we never have lost the right. So I'm not in any sense of the word doing anything unlawful. I'm doing everything lawful. And as was Woodrow Wilson that rightly said, if the younger generation doesn't know where they came from, how do they know where they're going to? And that's really what I want to do, is give them the knowledge of where they came from so they know where they're going.
And do you have like a ministry event in the evening or some other time after that, or?
No, basically what we do is we bring the band in, JunkyardProfit.com. That's an international band. As a matter of fact, America's number one Christian band, Reverb Nation. You can check that out. And what we do is we just go in there and we win the respect of the students, Psalm 33. We're playing loudly and with a loud noise. And as Paul rightly said, I become all things to all men to win the more to Christ. I do that. I win their respect. And for the next 2.5 hours, I can hear a pin drop, because they want to know, again, where their history lies and who they are. And for the most part, again, I don't mean to be rhetorical, but they don't know that, David.
Oh, I understand. Yeah, kids, I got one in high school and I got two in middle school, and they came home one day and started asking me questions about different Muslim things and asking me different things. I forget the exact questions. And I'm like, who's asking you these questions? And they go, no,
right.
they're teaching us this in the books at school now. And I'm like,
right.
What? And it basically is twisted. Everything that was in there when we were growing up, and I'm 41, so when I was growing up, and they only get that as an option, not as the truth now.
That's exactly right, what they're teaching the students in public schools. By the way, for those that didn't know, over 700,000 students a year in this country that graduate can't even read their own high school diplomas. But if you go back to the foundation or the premise as to what they're doing, because if you read Article 10 of the Bill of Rights, you can clearly see the federal government is violating state law, because they have no business educating our students. But what they're doing is they're coming in with an educational scheme called International Baccalaureate, which is a global scheme, which was contrived in 1968, No Child Left Behind, and now something called Common Core. And really what they're trying to do is just level the playing field. They're shooting for the floor rather than the stars. And you're exactly right. They're not teaching history. Bill Bennett, under the Reagan administration, Secretary of Education, said the longer students stay in public schools, the stupider they get, or the dumber they get.
That's true.
That's
very true. So I've had to like retrain my kids when they come home, and they've always been in a Christian home, so they're fine with a lot of stuff, and really put some time into them, and if they have questions, answering them and showing them the facts, and going online if I don't have the book with me. And it's so easy nowadays.
Amen.
You used to have an encyclopedia?
yeah, I do. And you actually had to skim across the pages. I remember that.
Yeah, and then you had to go to the library, find the right book with the right information.
That's right. And if it's correct information, I get it.
And then nowadays, these kids can get anything. So, you know, it's good what you're doing now. Are you the only one that speaks at these events, or some of the band speaks as well?
No, I'm the overseer of the ministry. I have 15 people in my ministry, and when I was doing high school assemblies alone, we had about 30 people that would hit the road with us. So we would literally we were bringing a concert setting into public schools, and we had two huge screens, 25 by 12 screens, and it was really an event every time we did a high school. It took about 80 man hours per school to give you an idea as to what it was. Yeah.
Wow. So would you do it in the middle of the week, end of the week?
Excuse me?
Would you have the services in the middle of the week or during the end of the week?
No, we would have the assembly right during the high school assembly. I mean, right during the school hours, in the middle of the day. And what the advantage is here, David, is when kids would ask after the assembly was over, they could go ahead and Q&A me. We'd do questions and answers. And without fail, one of the students would ask me the question, "What changed you?" And then there I can begin to preach and tell them Jesus Christ is the one that saved me from my sin, not in my sin.
That's amazing. So,
yes.
And how long have you been doing the radio show, Sons of Liberty?
I've been doing the radio show for about 13 years, been with Salem for 10 years, and the last couple of years we've been with Genesis Communication Network. So we've been down that road for a while as well.
Okay, wow. So is it a half-hour show, talk show?
No, it's an hour show, 5 days a week, and then on Saturday we're on for 2 hours, and then we get live radio. And it's all live, of course, but that's what makes it fun. So we pretty much are infiltrating the nation as well as 52 other countries, and it's pretty exciting stuff.
So is it, what kind of format do you, or is it? Is it music and talk, or?
No, we basically lay out our foundations. As George Washington rightly said, religion and morality are the essential pillars of civil society. What we want to do is we want to bring, again, back the foundation of who we are and where we came from, because, again, most people don't even know that we're a republic until they recite the Pledge of Allegiance, Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution of the United States. But in saying that, what we do is we just go back and give them a little history. For example, if you go to the top of the memorial, Washington Memorial, it says, "Praise be to the Lord." All the way up the stairs is scripture. When you go over to the Supreme Court building, you look up above the Supreme Court building, you have Moses holding the Ten Commandments. It says, "Justice, the guardian of liberty." If you go to the Liberty Bell, David, it says Leviticus 25:10, "And proclaim liberty throughout the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." And then we go to Arlington Cemetery, and then we show them the price paid in the natural for the freedoms that we now have, because freedom wasn't given unto us to do what we want to do. Freedom was given unto us to do what we ought to do. And again, we always want to bring them to the cross, Christ crucified in the spiritual through the natural, because Jesus always taught natural lessons to teach them spiritual lessons. So I'm just always doing my best on the radio just to go back to the constitutional format and our biblical foundations, because when you go to the Declaration of Independence, where did we derive and where have we derived our rights? From our Creator. And again, most people don't know that.
Mm. That's amazing. So broadcast in Salem Communications and Genesis?
No, we're with Genesis Communication now. So everything is just straight up Genesis Communication, and it's GCN.com. And you can find that out there as well. And the radio program is actually called SonsOfLibertyRadio.com. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com.
Well, I'm interested in having you on our network and trying to get some of your archives and just start working with you on that, so if you know we can talk afterwards about that. But yeah, we'd love to fit you in somehow and just get maybe not live, but we can get the shows and just play them Monday through Friday in the evenings, and then we just start with that and see where God leads it. But of course, it's free. Don't worry about it. We just want to help be a blessing. Want to help be a blessing to you. We've launched so many different ministries through here, and then now we have so many ministries coming in with program, and it's just amazing. You know, online is the way to go right now. It's just the way of reaching people and touching them. So, yeah, I'm all for it. So tell us about Fighting the Next Generation.
Well, if I can give you a premise, here, I'll just take you into a high school assembly. I get done playing my music. Once we get done, I get down, I'll ask the students, how many in this room know the Constitution? How many of you guys out here know your rights? You can have 1,800 students, you can have 1,500, you can have 1,000, you can go all the way down to 300. And for the most part, they'll start laughing at me, and I'll say, well, what are you guys laughing at? If you don't know your rights, guess what, guys? You don't have any rights. Then the next question I'll ask them is, I'll say, how many in this room have uncles, aunts, moms, dads, perhaps, brothers, sisters, cousins, or grandpas and grandmas that have served in foreign wars to uphold the Constitution of the United States? All of a sudden, about 85% of the hands go up, almost without fail. Hmm. Oh, okay. Then I'll say to them, so wait a second. So they fought, bled, and died in many cases to ratify the Constitution of the United States of America, and you don't even know what they died for. So what are you doing with the freedom that's been given to you? I'll go through a whole plethora of topics. At the end of my program, I'll say, guys, did you know that during World War I, there was 116,000 men and women that fought, bled, and died to ratify the Constitution that you don't know? I'll go to World War II, 405,399 men and women fought, bled, and died to ratify the Constitution that you don't even know, and you think it's funny. And I go on through Korea, 36,000, Vietnam, 58,000. My cousin was killed there. I go to Afghanistan, Iraq, Desert Storm. I can go to Iwo Jima, whatever the case may be. I show them the price paid for their freedoms, and then I ask them the question, so what would you think of me if I went to Arlington Cemetery right now, I took a can of spray paint, and I started to desecrate their memories or the headstones of those that fought, bled, and died to ratify the Constitution? Or what would you think of me, guys, if I said, let's go ahead and party away what they fought, bled, and died for? I had one student stand up in a high school assembly, and he said to me, Bradley, if you desecrate that, I'll rip your head off. And I stop, and I think, and I say to the whole body, the student body, the teacher body as well, I'll say, now you're starting to understand what I'm saying. So we have to live for what those men fought, bled, and died for, right? And in the spiritual, it's the same thing what Christ did for us. We're to live unto him who died for us. And when we begin to understand that, I'll tell you what, it gives us a perspective. People are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And when you give them a knowledge of the price paid for their freedoms, David, you have a whole school body that is converted in 2.5 hours. And guess what they want? They want to know their foundations. They want to know where they came from, because they want to fight for the preservation of our republic.
Amen. So what would you deem the psyche or the ideas of the current teen right now, as far as they're in school? Are they kind of being brainwashed?
I'm gonna offend you a little bit here, because 86% of those that send their students into public schools are Christians, conservatives, and or patriots that are complaining about the ideology and the cesspool of indoctrination that's being thrown on their kids right now. I did a high school assembly in Pensacola, Florida once, and there was 5 churches, David, around that particular school. And in that school, they were teaching them that they came from monkeys. By the way, that used to be illegal in public schools all the way up until 1968. And David, for real, they're asking the question, if my parents and my pastors love me so much, why am I subjected to this garbage? And if I can bring it to a positive, these students today, it's interesting how the older generation just kind of counts them out. This generation discerns like nobody's business. They are not stupid. They know they're being lied to. They just want someone to love on them enough to get in the face of what's going on and set them free. It's time for a mass exodus. It really is, David. And the way that you do that, you have to trouble the present so you can bring forth change to the future.
Amen. Amen. Now, how can people learn more about their rights and stuff? Do you have that stuff on your website as well?
Yeah, we got sonsoflibertyradio.com. That's one website, sonsoflibertyradio.com. And my other website, which is youcanruninternational.com. It's youcanruninternational.com. You can see all of the high school footage. We got an 8-hour documentary out there right now that shows a couple of kickouts that we had in public schools for advocating life and the Constitution. You can see that, and I dissect literally every topic that we talk about in public schools and what students are being subjected to today, and I give them clarity. I give them history, not opinion or the revisionist version of what history is. And what I do is I, again, take them all the way to the price paid, and I'll tell you what, it's great stuff. And we also did a brand-new comic book with Danny Bulinati, who is with DC Comics as well, as Marvel. So the comic book is my testimony. It's second to none, and that's all available on youcanruninternational.com.
Now, working with the younger generation and teenage, how do you raise the funds that you need to get things
done? Great point. Great question. A lot of times we have street teams,
okay,
and we have street teams all across the country. Like, for example, we went all the way from Minnesota all the way to Key West, Florida, and we did that high school. And all the while, knowing that we had to raise $1,000 because the school only gave us $500. So when we got into Key West, our street teams went out, sold some of our product, and we made enough money to get all the way back home. And that's exactly how we've been doing it, because of all the federal cuts that have been going on in public schools.
Wow, man, that's amazing. But that's the work of faith, and then that's the operating in faith. And God gives us witty inventions to get things done, and you just keep going forward and doing that. Now, how can people help you?
Same thing. You can run international.com, or they can call the offices, which is 320-274-8400. Again, 320-274-8400. And, David, I really appreciate the time that you've been giving me here today. I really do.
Oh, no, not a problem, not a problem. Is there anything else on your heart you want to share before we head out? We got about 4 minutes left. So.
Okay, 4 minutes. Okay, we're good then. Less than 3% of our population during the Revolutionary War was used to establish what we have today. Today, less than 1.7%, along with the state-run media, is there to attempt to destroy the republic that we know. And when we go back during the foundations of our country, during the Revolution, we need to keep in mind, friends, that the flags that were flying was, and were, appeal to heaven and no king but King Jesus. 25 of the 56 signers had seminary degrees. The least religious signer or founding forefather was Thomas Paine. He was over in France rebuking scientists who were taking away the just praise, or attempting to take away the just praise of God our Father that established the country we now have. when people begin to go back to that, and again, as you go, let's go to the Liberty Bell for a minute. I'm sorry, not the Liberty Bell, but the Statue of Liberty. It says, enlightening the world. When you look at her feet, she has broken chains. That gift was given unto us by the French. That simplifies freedom. When you look in her hand, she's holding the Declaration of Independence, where we derive our rights from our Creator. Rights come from God. They do not come from the generosity of the state, said John F. Kennedy. And once we begin to take a look at the history that God has given us, because we can see it all across the land. Again, let's go back to the veteran memorials. What do you see above their heads? You see Christian crosses. We're a Christian nation, and 78% of this country professes Christianity. We are winning the day. We need to shut off the TV. We need to get back to the Word when He says, come out from among them, be separate, touch not the unclean thing, and you will be my sons and my daughters, and I will be your father. And I just want to say this. If 12 people and 15 people in this ministry can do 342 high schools and set lawful precedents all across the country, that is a perfect exhibition of the faithfulness of God to those that are faithful to Him. We need faithful men and women that are faithful witnesses, and they're found faithful witnesses as unto God, because God has blessed America. Now it's time for America to bless God, because we can win, David, because we are winning, David.
Amen. So 342 high schools. How many high schools do you do a year?
We're actually kicking into colleges right now. I just did Iowa, DMC or DMAC, it's called, over in Iowa just about 3 weeks ago. We set another legal precedent there with one of the college students. We did St. Cloud College here. We did another college in Minnesota. So we're really breaking out into colleges right now and tea parties. I've done, I don't know how many tea parties in 11 states in the last, 9 months. We're just all across the boards, plus with the radio, plus with the videos that we do, plus I'm a commentator with WND and Western Journalism and 36 other outlets across the country. I'm not hard to find. And in saying that, I can spell everything out for you. Just go to bradleydean.com, and you'll find a whole mess of information. And you're going to say, man, this guy's doing all of this stuff. Yeah, I really am, because I really do want to see our posterity with a future and a hope. I really do.
Amen, my friend. Amen. And it's good to stay busy. You know, the Bible says a slack hand will lead to poverty. So it's good to stay busy in the Lord. I'm just as busy as well, my brother, with the TV, radio, publishing books. And hey, if you're ever ready to publish a book, you give me a holler. I'll help you out.
You got it.
And it's a blessing to meet someone like-minded. And how's the response with the college kids versus the high school kids, real quickly?
The college kids are, I really hate to say it this way, but they're worse because they think they know everything. I did a college assembly program in St. Cloud, Minnesota, and the professors told the students, the college students, hey, go protest Bradley Dean and we'll give you extra credit.
Wow.
It's on the front page of the paper, so on and so forth. But you know what, David, what it comes down to? If I was those professors, those revisionists, those Russian communists is really what they are, 99% of the case, that I have found, I wouldn't want Bradley Dean coming to my college neither, but what they fail to realize is when they attack me, they draw a crowd for me. And once they sit down and listen to my message, guess what? They find out that everything that the professor's been saying, everything the state-run media's been saying is absolutely inaccurate. There's no truth whatsoever, but that's what they depend upon. They depend upon stupid people to destroy our country. As Vladimir Lenin rightly said, they're looking for useful idiots. And I see a lot of that going on in the colleges. High school students are still workable. There's some college students that I have found that are still workable. As a matter of fact, we got a couple in our ministry center now. But if you'd like to see all of the referrals, not just from the students and the college students and national leaders all across the country, you can see that on youcanruninternational.com. Let them tell you. It's better coming from them anyways.
Amen. Bradley, I want to tell you, this is something I feel to tell you, light shines brighter in darkness.
Amen.
And,
amen.
You know, you're blessed that you're persecuted because you're doing the work of God, and God will shine during those times for you. Amen, brother. Just throw out a few of your websites real quick. And
yep.
Go ahead.
Yep, sonsoflibertyradio.com, sonsoflibertyradio.com, and or youcanruninternational.com, youcanruninternational.com, or Google Bradley Dean, double E, Bradley Dean.
Amen. God bless you, my brother. Thank you for taking the time to be on the air with us. And anytime you need to talk or have something you want to announce and you just want to come on the show, just give us a holler. We would love to have you again.
Appreciate it, David. God bless.
All right. God bless you. I'll give you a call in a little bit about talking about getting you on the air with us.
Sounds good.
All right. God bless. Bye-bye.
Yep. Thank you.
Amen. That was Mr. Bradley Dean, and that was an amazing, amazing interview. It went fast, too. You know what? The good ones always go fast. For some reason, they just do. We just jump in, and we connect, and it's amazing to see someone talk to someone that is just as busy, just as moving, and I really believe that. You know, a slack hand will lead to poverty. It says that in Proverbs, and you have to be able to keep it moving for the Lord. Sometimes I had a good friend who was a real estate agent, and he'd get one deal and he'd close it and he'd be content. You know, he was in California. He'd make $12,000, $15,000, $20,000. Houses are expensive. And he would make a good commission and he'd be fine with that. And then he'll go a month or two without something and close it again. And he'd be content. And I looked at him and said, man, you have the contacts to do more. Why don't you? Why don't you do more? Why don't you get out there and do more? And he's like, well, I'm okay with where I'm at. I don't want to overwork myself, and I don't want to go through what I have, and I'd rather just keep it easy. He was content. I tell you, there's no contentment when you're working for the Lord. You got to keep it moving, keep it just going, because you never know that one person you don't decide to get up and do something for, is that person can go to hell, and they will. They might. And you just never know who you can encourage from doing something foolish, from getting them out of a bad mood or a depression like we were talking earlier in the first segment. You just don't know who you can be a blessing to. So you don't be slack-handed. Be strong. Be always moving. Be doing something for the Lord. I want to thank Bradley Dean for being a part of this show again. Again, his website is bradleydean.com, and you can also visit sonsofliberty.com as well. Sons of Liberty Radio. sonsoflibertyradio.com. We'll catch you next time on the Midwatch. Remember, you can always write me, david@revmedianetwork.com, or you can email me at, or you can write me at P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas 77325. Again, that address is P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas 77325. This week we have another great interview. We're going to be interviewing Jeff Slaughter? I think it's Jeff Slaughter. Okay, I think it's Jeff Slaughter. We'll be interviewing him on Thursday, and we'll be also doing a Skype interview with him. All right, God bless you, my friends. We'll talk to you next time on The Midwatch. You be blessed.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, this show, or its host.